You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 150 of the Wisdom by Wessa podcast on the Horse Radio Network. This is Mike Donnell.
I'm Casey Wilbanks.
And this is Sophia Yagela. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This podcast is brought to you by the Western and English Sales Association, WESA, which provides the world's largest trade events for retailers, manufacturers, and sales representatives of the equestrian industry. In this podcast, we feature exclusive interviews with noteworthy Western and English personalities, retailers, and exhibitors who you've always wanted to talk to. Don't miss out on all the news for manufacturers and retailers in the equine industry. Sophia, so there's one event that I know we're all especially excited for this August. It's the Sip and Shape with Hatmasters founders Glenn and Parker Orms. It's happening Thursday, August 14th. What can we all expect, Sophia?
Yes, so this is going to be a fun and a hands-on party where you can sip some drinks, you can socialize, and then, of course, you can watch Glenn and Parker do their magic on some hats. You can also bring your own hats and use the hat bar items to customize your collection. So whether you're new to shaping or a seasoned pro, you'll definitely pick up some expert tips while having fun with other attendees.
And I heard there will be special hat branding offered as well. Tell us more.
Yeah, so previously some of our exhibitors offered hat branding in their exhibit spaces, but of course it kind of smells and disturbs some of the people around that space. But Glenn and Parker will bring a new electric non-smelling branding iron, so we're excited to see how that works. And even better than that, we will get a WESA branded version so we can all add the WESA logo to our hats on site. So bring your hats and join us for the Sip and Shape with Glenn and Parker Orms.
Mike, bring your hat. We'll make sure and brand it so you never lose it either.
Oh, I never lose
exactly.
It. Exactly. Okay. Jason Weiss, who recently joined WESA's board of directors, has been in the retail or wholesale footwear business his entire career. In 2009, he joined Evolution Brands and is currently vice president for sales of the Bedstoo line. He joins our show today to discuss how the company lives up to its environmentally friendly business model and also to chat about his decision to join WESA's board of directors. Jason Weiss, hey, thanks for taking the time to join us here on the Wisdom by WESA podcast.
My pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
We chatted a little bit the other day. You've had a very, very long but focused career in the footwear world. You started off retail at Nordstrom's. You've moved into the manufacturing side. But I guess the question is, what's intriguing to you of all the Western fashion items that there are in the world, or clothing items, what intrigues you about footwear?
You know, I think it's the artisanship behind the way product is made. You know, Western boots are such an old world construction. And the way that we construct our products is pretty much in line with the century-old idea of how things are handmade, hand-cut, hand-stitched. So that's really the romance behind what I love about the shoe industry, especially with the Western industry.
Okay. And now, would you unpack the difference? There's Evolution Brands, and then there's the Bedstoo line. And for those who aren't familiar with those brands or those terms, kind of break out how that works for us, will you?
Yeah, Evolutions is the corporate head name for the company, and Bedstoo is the house brand. It's the predominant brand. We've had several brands under the Evolutions umbrella. One of the brands that Wes is definitely most known for historically has been the Oak Tree Farm label that we've had for many, many years. That has since dissolved and has been absorbed within the Bedstoo name brand, but that is the core of what we're doing is Rowan. And then we also have another brand that we're focusing on called Rowan by Bedstoo, or really just Rowan. And that is us designing and developing our own products. and just doing it at a little bit lower price point, not with the same type of construction that we would do with Bed-Stuy, but at least we're heavily leather focused and try to mimic our finishes that we use within the Bed-Stuy category.
Okay. And you have to ask, where did the name Bed-Stuy originate?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. It's kind of a play on words. We're a 30-year-old company as of this past month. And Bed-Stuy derives from Brooklyn, New York, two streets that intersect, Bedford and Stuyvesant. They're an area within the Brooklyn neighborhoods called Bed-Stuy. And it was a name that we developed just as a private label brand almost 30 years ago that really just stuck in the industry. And we've kind of had a play on words, and we refer to it as Bed-Stuy. It's kind of the rough, gritty toughness of the streets of New York. But then, you know, we were West Coast based for a long time, so we really had a coastal vibe to a lot of the things that we have done with the brand as well.
Okay. And for those of you who are listening, that's B-E-D, first word, S-T-U. Second word. And I had a feeling Bedford-Stuyvesant somehow fit into that. So one of the things that I've noted and we talked about that kind of sets you apart in the footwear world is the environmentally friendly business model you've pursued. Chat a little bit about what that means from the fact you get leathers to all of the other construction and the people who make the shoes.
It really started with the people that make our shoes. We own our own factory down in León, Mexico. And we got to a point where we were realizing that the heavy glues that we were using were creating a lot of fumes that were not healthy for our factory workers. So we slowly transitioned into using water-based glues. That was the first transition. But as we started to evolve and there was this whole movement of, you know, sustainability product or eco-friendly product, we really embraced the eco-friendly approach and really just started changing the formulas and everything that we do to construct our product. I think the key factor starting with going to the water-based glues, but then even in the tanning process of our leathers, in the Western industry, vegetable tan leathers is somewhat common through saddles and things within the equestrian world. And we took the idea of vegetable tan leathers and tried to get it as pure as we possibly can by eliminating all the harsh chemicals, not just a percent and leaving some of the large percent and leaving some of the small percentage of the formaldehydes and some of the harsh chemicals behind. We eliminated as much as we possibly could. And then from there, we started taking on this eco-friendly natural approach where when we look at the dyes that we're using, they become more perfect form of what we're trying to create. And not only is it a handmade product tanned with such a unique handmade process, but then we finish it off with a really cool hand finish work with these really unique dyes and finishes that then creates unique items from pair to pair, from item to item. So no two items within our line are pre-dyed. They're all naturally dyed after the shoe is made or after the handbag is made. And from there, each piece is just kind of one of its own.
That kind of raises an interesting question, however, for the people who are designing the product. Let's go back, say, 10 years, whatever it was. People could design a product and using the old techniques, somebody would produce a shoe or a bag. So now the people who are designing the product, both they have the opportunity to create something knowing how the product is going to be made. But my guess is there are also things that they don't do anymore in terms of designing a product because it doesn't fit with the process you just mentioned. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. You know, we have always been unique in that sense that we really don't follow the masses of what happens in the fashion industry. We tend to follow our own path and try to create things that are true to us. So our product, our Bed-Stuy product in its current form, we've held true to what that brand and what that product stands for. It's easy to start following trends and going down to the rabbit hole of what's the hottest thing in the market. But we our cult following within our Bed-Stuy brand really comes from the uniqueness of our product, the fact that it's all handmade, the unique finishes that we do. But then on top of that, it's an individual style, individual lifestyle that's much different than a lot of our competition that's in the market.
Okay, Casey, I know you're waiting to jump in here. You've been taking a look at the products that are available. From your fashion standpoint, talk about the strength of this.
So the minute I first go to your website and look at the products, they just scream comfortable to me. Talk about just the general wear and the feedback you've received from customers about comfortability.
Yeah, the leathers themselves, because they're vegetable tan and all naturally formed, they're so breathable. I think that's the one thing that we really, really love about our product is it's Goodyear welted. You know, that's an old world construction that comes out of Europe. It was strong in the United States for a long time, and it's very similar to what we do in the Western world anyway. But having a leather sole and a hand-stitched sole onto a welt, onto an upper, and then the fact that it's all leather lined with the same type of vegetable tan lining, we don't cut back on any of our resources that we put within the product. We've got a unique latex breathable insole, and then on top of that is another piece of vegetable tan leather. So we not only do you get the initial cushion comfort, but the Goodyear welting comfort, as you start to wear it, your foot molds into the unique footbed and it just becomes more and more comfortable.
Sure. And as I go to, I'm on women's, which they have men's. So Mike always likes to pretend like there's nothing for him, but right, there's men's and women's shoes. I went to Bestsellers and there's sneakers. You even have sneakers.
You know, we are a lifestyle brand. So we did start out as a men's company 30 years ago. It did transform over time into predominantly a women's brand. And we were a footwear company first. And there are trends and ideas that we do have to stay in tune with, or we'll get left behind. So it really started with us being a boot company first, and then we evolved into sandals. And then from sandals, it just seemed important to fall into comfort, athletic wear. And it's not even athletic. It's a lifestyle sneaker.
I'm going to make a bold statement here, I guess, but I think a lot of women might agree with me. Shoes are the most important thing in my wardrobe, because you can wear the same outfit with a different pair of shoes and make it look a completely different way. So I do the same with my 8-year-old daughter. She has entirely way too many shoes. And I just realized that the other day that I have a real big shoe obsession.
You know, that I think is why we evolved into women's footwear over time versus men's. Men's hold true to their styles. You know, in men's footwear, we call it a refuel, where a guy will come back and want to buy the exact same item and wear it over and over. Where in women's footwear, you know, we really truly at Beds do have a cult following, and our customers really look to us for a cross selection of varieties, from tall boots to short boots to booties, and even Western. Even though we have Western within our ethos, and the way that we produce our product is somewhat similar to Western, and we even have leathers that are called rustic leather on some of our finishes, it really kind of falls towards that girl that's Americana, that mm-hmm. really likes that Western feel, but maybe doesn't want a traditional cowboy boot. And on top of that, when she's in that lifestyle, she can totally understand even the uniqueness of our sandals and our sneakers.
And your products, they remind me of just like a good leather jacket. I have a closet full of leather jackets that some of them I've had for 20 years and they are in wonderful condition. So can you relate that to the durability of your products?
I think it goes right down to, again, using that vegetable tan leather and breathable materials that allow the product to breathe and not dry out over time. Any leather shoe, if you treat it, any leather at all, if you treat it properly, you have the ability for it to be a lifetime shoe. The way that it's constructed, the care of the product, the fact that it's Goodyear welted, most of our product is resolable and refurbishable. We do have a refurbish and a resolable program. And we also have our own care products that we use towards our product that is almost like a hand cream to kind of keep the suppleness of the leather over time. And I like that you had brought up leather jackets, because as we're celebrating our 30th year anniversary, we are actually introducing a limited edition collection of leather jackets.
It's like I'm psychic.
No. it totally is. And it's unique in the fact that some of our leathers that we use as you look through the site, we have something that is referenced as a TD or a tie-dye leather. And we have this unique way of taking three color palettes and blending them in so that there's a unique pattern to almost truly a tie-dye leather. And it's such a unique hard process that each individual pair becomes one of its own. And we're doing those same things with the leather jackets.
Oh, nice. So since they are like a limited edition, how are people going to get their hands on them? What will that process be?
Well, I believe we're introing them for fall. I think August is going to be our release date. I would say just sign up for our e-blasts through our website and you'll get notified. It is going to be a limited run. I think the last information that I've got, we're going to do 30 men's jackets and 30 women's jackets and most definitely a limited run.
Oh, goodness. Yes. So bedstew.com, get signed up there. You've made it very clear that the loyalty from your customers with your brand is a large part of your success. How much customer feedback do you take in customizing your new designs or just in general what you're doing with your brand?
We are a husband and wife owned company. I've been with the company for 16 years and we've got a veteran sales team. We are all part of the same unit. The feedback is firsthand. If we hear it from a customer, it gets relayed right on to the ownership who does all the designing and the developing. So it is definitely the unique part of what I call it, a family, call it whatever you want. I think that we're really on the front line with our great customers and their feedback is critical to us. It drives a lot of what we do in design and development.
And you explained it all so perfectly. So I want to take a minute while we have you on and ask you two more questions. They're kind of like advice to any listeners. How can brands effectively communicate their values without it feeling forced or overly promoted to their audience? Do you have any advice in that category?
Oh, yeah, keep it simple. I think we're our worst enemy because there is so much to talk about with our product and we love talking about everything we put in it. And some people, it really, really matters. And there's a lot of people that it really just doesn't matter. So we try to keep it as simple and as palatable as we possibly can without trying to over-educate. But with our product, where we find that we most succeed is with our boutiques because they have the ability to really romance our story and romance the product.
Great. And in your opinion, what would be the biggest mistake for emerging brands when they're trying to build awareness and loyalty that you've seen in your years?
Moving too quick, not putting enough R&D into it. I think that there's so many brands that emerge so quickly. There are as many that form that fail. So I think the key is just to do your homework ahead of time and most importantly, know who you're targeting as your customer base. I think that's always a typical challenge, especially in the fast fashion, disposable fashion world.
Great advice. Mike, any burning questions?
Yeah, I want to do it. A couple, and then I want to get on to the fact that, given the fact that you really had nothing else to do and a lot of free time, you decided to join the WES board. But I want to, before we get there, I mean, we've talked about design, we've talked about the manufacturing, we've talked about all of that, but as you well know, nothing really happens till somebody sells. So let's talk about how we get the product sold. I know we talked about retailers, and you give us a little breakout on that. But my question is, how much time and effort do you spend educating the retailers, just like you've educated us, so they can present the Bedstew story when there is a customer looking at one of your pairs of shoes?
Yeah, that's a unique question. You know, with us being such a small company that delivers such great product, education is critical. And it's really our boutiques, again, that drive that message for us. We spend most of our time educating our boutiques. A lot of times it's just face-to-face at a trade show, but we try to do as many store visits as we can to educate the one or two people within that retail store that can really embrace the product and help us move our story. We are a subset to the Western industry. So we do hover between a unique customer base that is Americana and again, somewhat boho. We really don't train our major customers as much. A lot of that business is done through word of mouth. So through the likes of some of our Western stores and that we do business with in our boutiques, training is critical. I've got a great marketing team that puts together a lot of marketing materials that really talk about the two or three core fundamentals that set us apart from most of the competition.
Okay. Now, back to your role on the Wesson Board. As you and I talked over 30 years, you're kind of what we call a trade show warrior. You've been to more than one. And I think that was one of the reasons that attracted you to spend time on the Wesson Board. But go through the process of what drove you to seek a chance to serve on the Wesson Board and where you think your contributions can play.
You know, it was a love of the Western industry that happened kind of overnight for me. I grew up around the farming and ranching industry and really didn't fully understand the amount of work and effort that goes into that entire world of being a cowboy, if you will, or being a farmer, which growing up in rural Minnesota, it was a big part of what we understood. And the first time I walked into my first WESA trade show in Denver, I fell in love, not only with the people, the product, the customers, just everyone was so down to earth and so nice that I immediately fell in love. Of course, Bed-Stuy and Oak Tree being part of that community, even prior to me getting there, I felt like it was already set up for me. So from there, you know, I ran into Amy, I think maybe my second, third or fourth trade show. And she was always so nice. And I just expressed, you know, I'm in the contemporary world. I do a lot of trade shows at a lot of different levels in a lot of different cities. But there was something just unique about WESA that caught my attention. And that was when I first dropped that hint to her that, boy, I sure would like to be a bigger part of this. I think that took us 10 years for me to actually finally get to the board and a lot of changes with WESA over the years. But I reconnected once WESA came to Dallas and her eyes lit up. It was great to see her. And I think just through the conversation of me relocating my showroom onto the 14th floor at the Dallas World Trade Center and really being part of the uniqueness of WESA, it just seemed like a perfect click for me.
And what do you think will be the changes or the direction or other things that may cause shifts in how trade shows become more effective as time goes on?
Well, there's definitely a shift going on in the industry right now with trade shows from, you know, the big ones that we have in Vegas to some of the smaller regional shows. I think where WESA has really made a difference here in Dallas is the movement of more of the major retailers coming to the Dallas market and to WESA, just naturally, because I think the regional shows, Dallas is becoming one of the best shows. One of the bigger points that I really love about this is, you know, I've been in the contemporary part of the industry for a while, where even with Bed-Stuy, we are a contemporary product compared to a lot of what's going on in Western, but we're such a unique fit. And to have that WESA customer, that retailer come in and be exposed to not just the Western industry has allowed both WESA and the retailers to open our eyes to bigger possibilities.
Okay. Oh, one more thing. We forgot to mention this, but I'll go back. You're going to have a new plant.
Yes. You know, this was definitely a pre-tariff conversation, but the fact that we own our factory in Mexico, we're now a Texas-based company. We opened up a small factory during COVID in Lake Dallas, Texas, to do our shoe repair. And what we've done is we've evolved this into a point where we're now testing the waters with some new constructions, and we're redesigning and rebuilding a brand new U.S. factory that is going to open us up to the possibilities of not only just making great U.S. product, but having new constructions and basically a research and development at our fingertips. We'll continue to do shoe repair, but the uniqueness of the machinery that we're buying into is something that we're going to be calling a reverse Goodyear welted product that it has a lot more flexibility and it opens up the options of just doing more product assortments than we can out of Mexico.
Okay. Hey, listen, I thank you for taking the time. You're a busy guy between what you're doing with the board and what you're doing with the brand and trying to continue to build the brand. So we always like it when people take the time to chat with us about that because we know we're taking time out of their busy day. So thanks so much.
I appreciate it. This was a wonderful experience. Thank you for your time.
You betcha. Our pleasure. The show notes and links from today's show can be found at wisdombywessa.com. And if you have any feedback, we'd love to hear it. There is a contact link on that website.
The Wisdom by Wessa show will be published on the 15th and 30th of every month. You can listen on most of your favorite podcast players, and you can also listen on wisdombywessa.com. Be sure to visit all the great shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Wessa, where the industry meets.